on our Lord's Day. There are a couple of things before I get started this morning in our sermon that I needed to address the congregation. One of them is our annual Thanksgiving dinner for our Hilltoppers and Silver Threads. It'll be coming up next Sunday, right after services. And I want to encourage you, if you're a Hilltopper or a Silver Thread and you've never been to this Thanksgiving dinner, it is a treat. Not only the cooking, I can tell you, Miss Begood and the Begoods do an excellent job cooking for us, but also to see our teenagers. They'll be serving you at the dinner, and I think it's a really great enjoyment, and it'll be a great enjoyment for you to be there as well. We ask you, if you are planning to attend this luncheon, please sign up by today. There'll be a sign-up sheet out in the West Foyer, and ask you to please sign up if you'd like to attend this luncheon next week. A couple more notes I want to pass along to you is that I'd like to thank our guys, for the teenage guys who served last fifth Sunday and also this Sunday as well with the help of the Lord's Supper. They do an excellent job each time they get up and serve in front on Sunday mornings. They do a wonderful job, and I appreciate their zeal and encouragement they have in doing this. And also have one more thing. This past Thursday night, we have been changing out our teen room and our curriculum up there. Some of the guys and girls from the teenage group came and helped that evening, and I really appreciate y'all helping us out, clearing out the walls and putting the new stuff up. For those teachers in the younger grades, we will have some curriculum. If you'd like to look through it, some of the old stuff we have will be given away. Please come up and ask about it, and I'll let you know what will be given away so you can have in your classrooms. Now to our lesson. This morning, Brother Mark read from us from Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 4, and I'd like to read that to you one more time. It said, "Wrath is cruel and anger is torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy?" The topic of jealousy is one that everyone in this audience has felt before. Jealousy seems like can creep into our hearts before we even know it. And you turn around and you see that I'm not doing like I should. You know, I'm being jealous of somebody. And I've been guilty of that before, and I know several of us have. It's something that is hard to conquer in this life, jealousy. And one man put it in a story like this, and I want you to imagine this. Here's what jealousy might look like today. You've been at a job for quite some time now, and there's a big promotion that's coming up. And you're all excited because you know that you've worked hard and you put in the time to get the promotion at the job you're at. Well, you polish your resume, and your interview goes great. And there's no way, you say, there's no chance I'm not getting this job. I have worked hard. I put in the time. I paid my dues. I've come from the bottom of the barrel and worked my way up. And I've nailed this promotion. I'm going to get it. Well, the day rolls around, the job announcement is posted, and you get on the look on the wall and you see the job is not given to you. Instead, the job is given to a younger man who's only been there a few months, fresh out of college, it seems like. And the company says he is fresh and he has new ideas. And you look at that chart and you look disgusted. And you say to yourself, why didn't I get the job? I've worked hard, I've paid my dues, I put in the time. Why shouldn't I get it? I don't understand. Why does a young man get it over me? He's not good as I am. I put my effort and full time in this job. I should get it. It's mine. It's not his. You know, brothers and sisters, this is what jealousy looks like. And like I said, it can creep up on you before you even know it, and it can overtake you in an instant. And jealousy is something we constantly struggle at. I also want to read to you from Song of Solomon this morning, chapter 8 and verse 6. This Bible says, "Jealousy is as cruel as a grave. Its flames are flames of fire." This morning, our goal is to examine the state of jealousy. And the only way to really examine it and take note of it is really found in one story, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's the story of Joseph. In Genesis chapter 37, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn there. In Genesis chapter 37, we're introduced to the story of Joseph, a young man that we find out is 17 years old in chapter 37, and the Bible will track his life all the way to the end of the book of Genesis in chapter 50. And it seems like Genesis is very devoted to Joseph. And all throughout Genesis, you don't find a bad word about Joseph. Joseph was an amazing man, full of energy, full of character, and someone that just wouldn't take no as an answer. He never quit, and he never gave up. And if you remember him, Joseph started out as a son of Jacob. But it wasn't very far down the road that he had some trouble in his life. As a matter of fact, we'll talk about today how he was hated by his own brothers. If you remember in chapter 37, he was sold into slavery into the Ishmaelites. And they in turn turned him over to the Egyptians. He served in Potiphar's house, but he was accused of a crime that he didn't do. He wouldn't lie with Potiphar's wife. No, that wasn't God's commandment. So he's thrown in jail for committing a crime he didn't do. Well, he stays in jail, and if you remember, he begins to work his way up. You remember the dreams he interpreted for Pharaoh. As a matter of fact, Pharaoh would like him so much that later on in the book of Genesis, he would become Pharaoh's right-hand man, it seemed like. And it was years later that he would get the opportunity to face his brothers when the famine went on. And you remember, he saw his brothers face to face and didn't recognize him, but he recognized them. And he wasn't filled with hatred in his heart or anything like that. The Bible says he went back and wept because he missed them so much. He missed his family. And I tell you all that to get to this. Why did all the suffering and adversity come into Joseph's life? What happened? What one moment can you point to in the Bible where you say, what happened, Joseph? It's found in Genesis chapter 37. And it deals with the subject of jealousy with Joseph's brothers. In Genesis chapter 37, I need to turn there first, it seems like. We'll begin in verse 1. It says here, now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And if you remember, Jacob had made the journey into the land of Canaan. And if you remember, he had 12 sons. That'd be the 12 tribes of Israel. And he had these sons, and they were good sons, it seemed like. They were worked for their dad, and did a good job. But he had one son in particular, Joseph, that he really liked. And you remember Joseph, he was Rachel's son, Jacob's favorite wife. And the thing was about Joseph that he loved him so much that he gave him that coat of many colors. You remember it. The coat that really showed that Jacob or Joseph was his favorite. Well, that coat caused a lot of strife and a lot of grief amongst his brothers. That coat would become something of jealousy amongst his brethren. Well, as Joseph would grow up with his 11 brothers, he would be assigned to kind of watch over his brothers, see what they're doing. And you get to reading in verse 3. Move down to verse 3. It said, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age. And he also made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. And he could not speak, and they could not speak peaceably unto him. Jacob had set Joseph apart. You remember, it was, like I said, it was Rachel's boy. He loved Rachel, his favorite wife. You remember Jacob would have four wives. He had Rachel, and he had Leah. Later on, he would marry Bilhah and Zilpah, which were his two concubines before. But Jacob loved Rachel. And what Rachel did, he loved. And the children that Rachel bore, he loved the most. And he loved Joseph more than any. And like I said, he gave him this coat of many colors. And this was a coat that showed a symbol of love. Jacob dearly loved Joseph. His coat was to be special, worn by the best. And he gave it to Joseph. But at the same time, this coat will become a symbol of anger and of hatred. You see, in the other brothers' eyes, the 11 brothers, 11 sons of Jacob, their eyes, they saw this coat as something of wrath. They hated this coat. They couldn't understand why Dad would give it to Joseph. They would say, Dad, why? Why do you love Jacob or Joseph more than us? What is it that we can do to make ourselves better? Why is it? We don't understand. And I can't imagine the things they had to go through. Seeing their father's love go to Joseph rather than going to them equally. It was something very hard for them to endure. But was it Joseph's fault? No, it wasn't Joseph's fault. It was Jacob's fault. It started all the way back in the beginning. And this could be a lesson also as well, that this is a reason we don't take 2, 3, or 4 wives today. It's not good. That's not the way God intended it to be as well. Well, you know the stories that goes on. Joseph will wear this coat. And his brothers will see it as a thing of anger and hatred, as we said. And jealousy will begin to creep into the hearts of the 11 sons of Jacob. If you go on down and read with me in verse 6. I want you to look at verse 6. As I said, this jealousy is starting to grow and it's going to get into a stage of resentment. In verse 6 it says, "So he said to them, 'Please hear me this dream which I've dreamed.'" And what Joseph is doing, he's come up and told his brothers, "I've dreamed 2 dreams." And you remember the dreams. One was the corn stalks of the field, and one was of the stars in the skies. And he said, "I want to tell you this dream I had." And remember, Joseph's brothers don't like him already. And after these dreams, they're not going to like him much at all. But we'll read the story. In verse 7, "We were here binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaf stood up around and bowed down to my sheaves." And his brother said unto him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. In verse 9, "Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Look, I have dreamed another dream. At this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me.' So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is it that you dream, that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down before you, before the earth?' And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind." One of the key verses there is his brothers envied him. And I want you to track and see what's happened here. In verse 8 it says they hated him for his dream. They didn't want to hear anything about it. Verse 11 says it growed into envy. And envy is where the sin will come along. You see the pattern that's happening here? From jealousy to resentment. From resentment to envy. And that's what's taking place in the 11 sons of Jacob in their eyes. And do you see how a divide just keeps growing and growing and growing between these brothers? In my mind, I would think they would say, "We don't want to hear about it, Joseph. We are sick and tired of hearing you tell these dreams. We know your dad's favorite. We don't want you to rub it in anymore." And they end with this: "We hate you. We don't want anything to do with you." And I can't imagine telling my brothers I hate them. I love my brothers. And I'm glad one of them's here today, but I can't imagine saying I hate them. But this was a divide that happened within that family. And it was tearing them apart. And it literally did tear them apart. If you read with me, we get to the breaking point of the whole story. And it comes in verse 18 of Genesis chapter 37. Verse 18 says, "Now when they saw him afar off," his brothers were working in the field, "and they see Joseph coming up the road. They see him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, 'Look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what become of his dreams.'" Can you see the anger boiling in their eyes? Can you see it all building up when they see him coming down the road? They're sick and tired of seeing him, sick and tired of hearing about the dreams. And the anger just builds and it builds and it builds. Our scripture said that jealousy is like flames of fire. And that's what was in their eyes at this time. Here comes Joseph, the dreamer. Here comes Dad's favorite. We'll never amount to anything like him. Why don't we just get rid of him instead? Why don't we put him out of our lives? Get him out of this family. And that was their idea in verse 18. It said they saw him afar off and they conspired to kill him. Well, thank goodness that Reuben came in and said, we shouldn't kill him. We shouldn't have his blood be upon us. Reuben, the oldest son, said, we shouldn't do this. Here's instead what we can do. And if you remember, they devised a plan. Reuben goes away and they make this plan up. And you get to verse 22 and it says what's taking place. Reuben said in verse 22, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he may deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. You see, Reuben had in his mind, we can't do this. This is one of our brothers. We cannot kill him. He said, why don't we just cast him in the pit? And later on, Reuben says, I'll come back and get him. He didn't tell his brothers that, but that was his thought. So Reuben goes off, but notice verse 23. It came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal and they lifted their eyes and looked. And there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let our hand not be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh, and his brothers listen. So Judah said instead, why don't we not kill him? You know, we don't want his blood be upon us. Why don't we sell him? And they took Joseph and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. Sell your own brother. They got rid of him, didn't they? They got him out of their lives, so they would think. But they would find out later on it was different. Brethren, this is a sad story. This anger, this hatred that these brothers had built up had overcome them. This jealousy had raged within them. And jealousy can be a very dangerous thing we have to deal with. And it overtook the 11 sons of Jacob. And they sailed their brother into slavery. You get to the end of the chapter. And somehow, some way, they've got to make up a story. We've got to tell Dad. We've got to tell Jacob something that happened. We need a story to make up. We need a lie. Well, they get together and they devise a plan. And you know the plan. It's found in verse 31. And read with me. So they took Joseph's tunic and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the tunic in blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether or not it's your son's tunic? And he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn into pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his waist and mourned for his son for many days. The heartache that jealousy can cause. Jealousy had overtaken these brothers. You know, what's so amazing, it started out as something small. It started out as something, a coat, a piece of clothing. But it kept building, and it kept building, and building. And like I said earlier, jealousy turned into resentment. They hated him. Then jealousy turned into the sin of envy. And they sold him, they lied about it. Proverbs 27 and verse 4 again. Wrath is cruel, and anger is torrent. But who is able to stand before jealousy? Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 6. Jealousy is as cruel as a grave. Its flames are as flames of fire. Such a powerful and yet true statement that we find out in Genesis chapter 37. Perhaps this morning, some of us are struggling with jealousy. And like I said earlier, it can be something as small as a job, not getting a job you want. It can be something as small as not getting the right car you want, or being envious or jealous of the neighbor's car, envious of money. You know, money is the root of all evil, the Bible tells us. And in times like these, it's easy to be jealous of what other people have. It could be something as small as a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It could be a disagreement. It could be anything that jealousy creeps in into our lives. The thing about jealousy is, if you notice in Genesis 37, it gets higher and higher and higher. It burns within your soul and within your mind, and it's like a fire that cannot be quenched. It set its flames of fire. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30. Now, I want to leave you with this morning. A tranquil heart gives life to flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. It started out with a coat that would show Jacob's love, a coat that he thought, this will show my love to my son. But in the other brother's mind, that coat was something of terribleness. It was something that literally torn the whole family into pieces. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. This morning, there might be something in your life that you're struggling with. Perhaps it's jealousy, perhaps it's something of commitment, something else that you might be struggling with. You're having trouble with it. We have brethren here that would love to pray with you. And they love to speak with you and pray with you and spend time with you to help you out in whatever cause of life that you're struggling with. Perhaps you haven't been a Christian this morning and you want to put on Christ and baptism. There is no better day than today. The water is ready and we're ready as well. And God will rejoice with you. This morning, if you need to change your life, if you need to make things right, come now as we stand and as we sing.